The last few weeks, Pastor Joe has been walking us through the book of Galatians, and today we're finishing up that series, walking through the last 8 verses of this letter. And just as a really small recap for you, if you're new with us this morning, the book of Galatians was written by Paul to the people of Galatia. He was concerned, very concerned and angry, about the fact that there were Jewish individuals compelling male Christians to be circumcised and adhere to the Jewish law. So he fleshed out this issue and addressed it in this letter, and if you want to take a deeper look at any of the sections in Galatians, you can head to our YouTube channel and rewatch any of Pastor Joe's sermons on there. Before we get into our scripture this morning, I just want to pray. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for your Holy Spirit. As we walk through your word today, God, I pray that your message would be proclaimed loud and clear. And may your word be brought to life in our hearts and in our minds through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to read Galatians 6, 11 to 18, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV translation. It'll be up on the screen for you here. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. First verse there. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And some scholars debate kind of a few things with this. And it's been said that Paul has used a scribe to write his letters, so he would dictate it and they would write it down. And so at this point, Paul might have just taken the pen and wrote himself, or he was writing it before and he just wanted to make a major emphasis at this point with large letters. Either way, the message behind those two ideas are the same. Paul wanted the readers to pay attention. It was like Paul was writing in all caps in a text message. Imagine being the readers. You're going through this letter. It's already kind of an angry letter. You're going through this, and then you come across, you get to this point, and the text is bigger than what it's been. Whew. They definitely should be paying attention. Another thing to mention about this last section of the letter is the ending is not the typical ending that Paul usually writes with his letters. He misses the typical greeting, say hi to this person, say hi to this person, a request for prayer and doxology that were common in the other letters that he wrote. So again, there's an emphasis to pay attention here. Paul is, are we not working? I'm working, but I'm saying use the mic. Okay, hold on.
I've been told by the boss. All right, so again, emphasizing to pay attention here. So Paul is wrapping up his whole letter, and the Galatians need to get it. You need to get it. So Galatians 6, 12 to 13. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. And so remember what we reviewed here, and Pastor Joe talked about in his earlier series. The Jewish individuals were trying to compel the male Christians to be circumcised. And why? The Jews were afraid of what was going on around them. And so N.T. Wright writes in his book, The New Testament in Its World, he writes this: suddenly, a new group would be staying away from the normal pagan cult, including the Rome-directed ceremonies. Local authorities would be alarmed. This might mean trouble for Rome. The member of this new group would claim that they were entitled to the Jewish exemption, since being followers of Israel's Messiah, they were children of Abraham. The local synagogue authorities, anxious to protect their own status and exemption, would disclaim knowledge of this new group, but they would put pressure on those in the synagogue who had themselves become Jesus followers. I realize I might have missed a little section here that's really important. So the Jews were exempt from participating in worshiping Caesar. Because they followed the one true God. So they had this political exemption to not participate in this. And now there's this new group of people who were claiming to worship the same God, but they didn't look like Jews. They didn't act like Jews. They weren't Jews. So these Jews were afraid that this political exemption would be taken from them. And so these Jews wanted to save face. They were scared. Out of fear and selfish motive, they added to the gospel. They didn't want to be persecuted for Jesus, so they tried to find the easy way out. So if these Christians were also circumcised and looked like Jews on the outside, then all would be good in the physical realm here. All would be good in the physical realm. Everything needed to look good on the outside. To avoid the tensions in the physical realm between them and the Roman government, they actually opted for spiritual compromise, which was wrong. In Romans and Acts 15, this very issue was dealt with, and it was a very common problem during the early church. How were they supposed to wrap their head around these new believers, these Gentiles, and how were we bringing them into God's people? Like, they would then have to become Jews because the Jews are their God's people. Like, they just couldn't wrap their heads around it. And in Acts 10, we have the story of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And before visiting Cornelius, God showed Peter the sheet of unclean animals. He's like in a vision. There's a sheet of unclean animals according to the law that comes down, and God instructs him to kill and eat. But Peter's like, that's not right. I'm a good Jewish boy. I'm not gonna kill and eat unclean animals. That would go against your law. And God replies, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this vision and instructions happened three times so that Peter would get it. And so Peter got the message, and he was sent to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. And the Jews and Gentiles are not supposed to mix. But Peter went in on instructions from God. And I just want scripture to speak for itself here. So I'm just going to read the story instead of trying to summarize it. And it's Acts 10, 34 to 47. So just listen in and take it in. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." And you fast forward five chapters, Acts 15, 7 to 11, the same issue of circumcision in the Gentiles, and this tension between the Jews of do we make them get circumcised? Do we make them follow the law? It's coming up again, and Peter refers back to this. "Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." I just want to repeat that verse 10. "Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?" The old had a purpose. But we learn through the experience of Peter and Acts that the old has been fulfilled and God has created something new. And this is the major point that Paul is trying to make and leave with the Galatians. God has created something new, and that is what matters. Galatians 6:15 is this peak verse here. "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation." What counts is the new creation. The new creation has replaced the old. So we're actually going to compare the old to the new. And I have a little chart that we're going to go through to help you see how the new has replaced the old. And so the first is the symbol. So in the old, the symbol was circumcision. Circumcision was given as a symbol between the covenant between, Circumcision was given as a symbol of the covenant between God and his people back in the Old Testament. And circumcision was given to Abraham way before the law was even given to symbolize the covenant and promise that God had made to Abraham and his offspring. And now under the new covenant, we are given the symbol or the sign or the seal of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit has replaced the symbol of circumcision. And once the law was created, given to Moses, so the sign of circumcision was given to Abraham, and then quite a few generations later, the law was given to Moses, and circumcision was then adopted into the law. Okay? And so to obey the law and God was to be circumcised. And so that is how they received that symbol, was through obedience and the law. And we receive the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit through faith. Now, the law is still in play. Okay? I want to make that clear. But how it is fulfilled is different. The old, we attempted to fulfill the law on our own. But Christ fulfilled the law perfectly. He Jesus himself said in the New Testament, I can't remember the exact scripture verse, but he's like, I haven't come to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill the law. So the law is still in play, but the way it is fulfilled is different. So now who is included in this? We've got our who. Under the old law, it was the Jews. And so you had to be a Jew under the old. Circumcision was a sign of you being a Jew. But under the new, it is for all people. It is for all people. And God has always intended it to be a multi-ethnic family. And we see this at the beginning, that the promise given to Abraham, Genesis 12:2-3, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The world, whoever, this was for all people, not just for the Jews. And so that's our old and our new. And now, the physical nation of Israel, therefore, was under the old. And it has been replaced by the spiritual nation of Israel. Whoever is under the new creation is part of the new spiritual Israel. The old covenant has been replaced by the new covenant. And it's been extended to include the Gentiles. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. And he's speaking about the spiritual Israel of God here. And Paul addresses this idea in Romans 11. And he uses the illustration of an olive tree that represents kind of the original nation of Israel, with Jesus being the root. And Jews who had unbelief had been broken off the olive tree, and Gentiles were then grafted in. And if you don't know what that means, it's like you tie on a new branch onto an original tree, and it then kind of gets included as it grows. And it becomes one with the tree. And so verses 17 and 20a say this in Romans 11. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, and he's talking, the you is Gentiles, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. So comparing the old to the new. Which one's better? The new. The new is better. So much better. For us to go back to the old, whew, that's a heavy yoke. If you don't know what a yoke is, it was like this apparatus that went around oxen, and like, it wasn't comfortable, I don't think. I mean, I'm not an ox, but that's heavy. That's a heavy load to carry. And even Peter said that earlier on. There we are. Back in Acts 15. I'm so sorry, guys. Back in Acts 15, he says, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we or our ancestors could bear? So for us to go back to the old, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old, in with the new. As new creations, we are marked by the Holy Spirit. And the way we get that Holy Spirit is through faith in Jesus. God's own Spirit is given to us to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Now, I have a question. Does your life reflect living in the new creation as a new creation? Does your life reflect living in the new creation as a new creation? Or are you stuck in the old, trying to gain acceptance by being a good person, by doing all the right things, by adding to the gospel? That's what they were doing in Galatia. They were adding to the gospel. Are you allowing your life to be led by the Holy Spirit that has been given to you? Or are you living a life guided by the flesh? If you're living a life guided by the flesh, you're under the old. If you're living a life guided by the Holy Spirit, you're in the new. Can you see the evidence in your life of the Holy Spirit through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? This is talked about in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, two Sundays ago. Head to YouTube. Or do you see in your life sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins? These are things that Paul went through in Galatians. If you see those things, you're living in the flesh. You're living under the old. If you find yourself in the old, you need to repent. And repent means a full 180 turn to Jesus. A full 180 turn to Jesus. So turn to Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to make his mark in your life. Allow him to guide you. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in your everyday life. Allow him to guide you to love God. Allow him to guide you to honor God's heart with everything you do and say. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you. But how do we allow him to do that? That might be a question you're asking. I can't overcomplicate it. Read his word. Read God's word. The Holy Spirit brings those words on the page alive. Communicate with God through prayer, turning your focus to Jesus. And when he asks you to do something, listen and act. That is how we allow the Holy Spirit to take charge in our life. Too often we overcomplicate this. We overcomplicate faith and following Jesus. And again, that's kind of what was happening in Galatia. They were taking away the simplicity of the gospel. Bible, prayer, community are the tools that God has given us to grow in our faith. And so let's use these tools and stop overcomplicating it. Let's stop living in the old. Let's focus on living in the new. Let's live in the freedom that Christ gave us through his death and resurrection on the cross. Let us use our freedom in Christ to do good, to honor God, to go spreading the message of Jesus to those around us. I was talking with my husband earlier on the way here. I'm like, application-wise, I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you exactly what you have to do. The Holy Spirit is telling you right now. And I have to trust that the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now on what you need to do next, specifically. giving you a list of things to try and do specifically, it's not going to be helpful. It's going to be more of that yoke. And so let's stop living in the old and let's focus on the new, the life in the Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And just as we finish off in this song, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, do it. If you need to repent, do it. If you need to ask for that forgiveness, do it. Okay? Don't wait. Don't wait. Out with the old and in with the new. All right? Out with the old, in with the new. We're going to pray, and then we're going to finish off. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have created something new that we get to be a part of. Thank you, God, that you have given us the mark of the Holy Spirit so that we are part of the new creation, so that we can be guided by your Spirit into all truth, that we can live a life pleasing and honoring to you because of your Holy Spirit and because of Jesus on the cross. And God, I just pray over any of those individuals who have not yet made the decision to follow you, Jesus. They haven't stepped into that new. They haven't stepped into that new creation. God, I pray that they would turn and that they would repent, that they would just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me and please make me new. I believe in you, Jesus. And God, for anyone else that you're speaking to, God, give them that courage and give them the desire to act and obey your Holy Spirit. And we just pray this in your heavenly name, Jesus. Amen.